This is Ronald Coleman, inviting you to radio's most dramatic half hour, Favorite Story. The sense of the beautiful is God's best gift to the human soul. W.H. Hudson, the author of this week's Favorite Story, who said that, gives us a full measure of beauty in his famous book, Green Mansion. For he leads us by the hand, as it were, into the mystery and magic of the forest, into a world of mystic grace and loveliness. If Dinah Shore chose Green Mansion, perhaps this is Dinah's favorite because it has the simplicity and beauty of a not-to-be-forgotten song. In the next half hour, we'll try to recapture some of the spirit of this famous book. So lean back, close your eyes, and we'll transport you to a world of sun and wind and starlight, to the greenery of the jungles of Venezuela.
Bill, and perhaps in the story of my life, you can find some clue to an answer. For political reasons, I was compelled to leave the city of Caracas. I was an unhappy man as I fled for my life into the jungles of Venezuela and Guyana. The heavy vines tore at my clothes, the thick undergrowth gnawed at my skin. I was hungry. I was tired. And finally, I sank down, exhausted, like a man dead. When I woke, I found myself in a low hut. An old Indian sat opposite my couch, smoking silently, his black eyes like pinpoints of steel.
Ah, you awakened, my friend.
Where am I? Who are you?
You are in the village called Kudikai. I am Runai, chief of this tribe.
I thank you, Chief Runai, for helping me, or I should now be dead.
Can you rise up? It is a fine evening. The rain has just stopped, and all the sky is washed and fresh.
Fine. Oh, that's lovely here. And that forest. It's the greenest I've ever seen.
You must never go into that forest. It is an evil place. Something bad exists there. Look at it from a distance, but do not enter it.
I looked at it from a distance. The leaves still glittered with raindrops, and the wet trunks looked almost black under the green foliage. The sun was going down over a ridge of hills, and the whole western sky was changing from blue to a delicate rose, like tinted smoke blown there by some far-off wind. Suddenly, I felt purified, in touch with nature. I felt a great peace. Then I knew I had to go into that forest and explore its hidden beauty. Early the next morning, I entered this wild paradise. A wonderful forest. A leafy cloudland. Greenish golden, with tender half-lights and faint blue and gray shadows. And everywhere, golden shafts of light falling through breaks in the upper foliage, giving a strange glory to everything. I looked up. Then suddenly, for a moment, the very leaves seemed to stop trembling. And everywhere, the forest was silent. Profoundly silent.
as if the wind itself had held its breath. Then I heard it. A low strain of bird melody, wonderfully pure and expressive, unlike any musical sound I'd ever heard before. Now the voice came from behind me, somewhere hidden in the greenness. The blood rushed to my heart as I listened. Who are you? Come out, show yourself. Lost in the greenness was something beautiful, like a shaft of sunshine, like a shining thread of silver made by some tree spider. Somewhere in these green mansions was the loveliest thing in the world. Would I ever find it? The forest again, but all I heard was the whispering of the leaves and the wind and my footsteps and the loudness of my own heart. Then I saw her, a girl, reclining on the moss among the ferns. She was small, with delicately shaped hands and feet. Her only garment was a slight dress with a faint luster of a silky material. Her hair fell in a cloud on her shoulders and arms. Suddenly she turned and saw me. And slowly, like the motion of cloud mist, she rose to her knees, then to her feet, and melted away in the green. Perpetual green twilight of the forest, the chief of the tribe met me.
You have been in the forest?
Yes.
You must not go there again.
Oh, but I must.
Mm-hmm. Then you must learn to use a blowgun. You must learn to kill for your own safety.
What would you have me kill in this forest?
Birds? Perhaps someday a bird the size of a small woman.
I had to find her, to warn her against these men. And as I hurried through the forest, suddenly a snake reared up and started to strike. Then, like the whisper of the wind, she appeared, the forest girl. She had seen my danger and had come to help me. The snake no longer advanced toward me. Its lifted head wavered from side to side and sank down lower and lower and rested on the girl's bare instep. She had no fear of it. I drew nearer, almost hypnotized by this lovely creature. And inadvertently, I stepped on the snake. The girl disappeared. I knew I must follow her, or I should die of the snake bite. The forest grew darker. At long last, the venom of the snake and the darkness enveloped me. I fell down a bottomless depth and unconscious. With the return of consciousness, I had a vague impression that I was lying somewhere indoors, a fire burning on a clay floor. Before it, on a log of wood, an old man sat, not a native, a white man. He had a curious face, as if youth and age had made it a battling ground. His face was wrinkled, but he had the youngest eyes I've ever seen.
The dead man is alive again. If it were not for my granddaughter here, you would have perished in the forest.
Your granddaughter?
My name is Nuflo, and hers is Rima. Step into the fire like child.
Rima. It was you, the voice in the forest.
Yes.
What strange musical language was it you spoke to me?
All living creatures, sir, whether man or bird, have the voice that God has given them. And if you are to remain living, you must eat. I shall get some cassava. Child, tend to this man.
Rima, is it only you and your grandfather who live in this hut? Have you no mother, Rima?
My mother? My mother? Oh, she's dead. Her body is in the earth and turned to dust. But her soul is up there where the stars and the angels are. But I talk to her just the same. At night when I lie down, I cross my arms on my breast. So, and say, Mother. Mother, now you are in my arms. Let us go to sleep together. Sometimes I say, oh, why will you never answer me when I speak and speak? Mother, Mother, Mother.
Rima, do you know that you will see your mother again someday?
Yes, when I die.
Your grandfather, he's old. What will you do when he dies and finds a way to the starry country where your mother is?
You're here.
Oh, Rima. You must call me by my name, Abel.
I have called you by many names. And no answer.
Oh, Rima. I shall come to you when you call. You're like a hummingbird. Now dark. A shadow in the shadow, seen for an instant, and then gone. And now, in the firelight, standing still, how beautiful. A thousand times more beautiful than the hummingbird. Rima, you are like all beautiful things in the wood, flower and bird and butterfly and green leaf. And when I listen to Rima's voice, talking in a language I cannot understand, I hear the wind whispering in the leaves. The running of the water, the bee among the flowers, the organ bird singing far, far in the shadows of the trees. I hear them all, for I hear Rima. Have I answered you now?
No. No. No.
Rima, where are you going? Rima!
Shaw's favorite story, Green Mansions, by W.H. Hudson. Berry Kroger is Abel, and Janet Waldo is the lovely forest child, Rima. In the mysterious quiet of the Green Mansions of the forest, the man named Abel continues his story.
When I was well enough to walk, Rima, this lovely forest child, led me by the hand to the top of the highest hill.
I cannot see far enough. I want to see the whole world.
The world is very large, Rima.
I want you to take me to my home.
Your home?
To Rialima. My mother was found there. Her people and mine are there. You know all the world. You must take me to Rialima. Only there I can find what I am seeking. Come quickly.
My child, we cannot travel to Rialima. I should die if I had to travel so far.
You told me you did not know how to get there.
But
oh, wicked man, wait until you know what will happen to you after death.
Oh, no.
I will tell my mother. Mother, mother, listen to me. Often I've spoken to Nuflo about Rialima, and he denied all knowledge of such a place. But then a stranger came, a man who knows all the world, and he can take us there. This is a wonderful man, Mother. And when he looks at me,
That look fills me. Just as the lightning fills a cloud at sunset. And his words are gentle. But if Nuflo won't take us to Rio Lima, have heaven curse him, Mother.
Lima, do not curse me. I shall take you to Rio Lima. But heaven have pity on you.
We travel to the far distant place called Rio Lima, a girl racing on ahead, breathless and beautiful. And I had a chance to find out from Lufo who she was and what she was.
She is a woodland child, and she loves the animals. So she would warn the little creatures whenever the tribe began to hunt. Finally, the savages knew they must get rid of her. And they sent out with blowpipes. She was perched high in a tree, and two of them came at her. And as they shot, they wounded each other. So all the tribe thinks now, the child catches the arrows and sends them back to the hearts of the senders.
So they hunt the wood no more.
Oh, we have almost reached there. And I cannot bear to think of the look in her eyes when we pass that turn of the hills.
Oh, Grandfather, is this Rio Lima?
My child, my poor child. I tried to spare you.
Burned. Burned. Everything burned. And no people. Where are my people, Grandfather?
They are all dead, child.
Dead?
Your mother alone escaped, with you yet unborn. The rest are gone.
Mother! Mother, where are my people? Mother!
Rima!
Dead! She's dead!
Oh, she's only fainted. Get me some water quickly.
Rima, sweet child. They're lost, Rima. Your people are lost. But I'm with you. You wanted to come here to see if they could speak the same musical language that floods out of you. But what need of words? It shines in your eyes. It burns like a flame in your face. I can feel it in your hands. Do you not also see it in my face? All that I feel for you, the love that makes me happy. For this is love, Rima, the flower and melody of life.
Abel, all I wish to know here at Rio Lima, it was all there in you. When I saw this place, I wished only to die as they had. But when I woke and found myself here in your arms, it was like the morning and the sunrise.
Rima.
Abel, do you ever lie in the dry moss and look straight up into a tree and count a thousand leaves?
There are too many to count.
Lying in your arms, looking up into your face, it is like that. I cannot count the things I remember.
Tell me some of the things you remember, Rima.
My mother. Whenever we went into the forest, she would sit under a tree while I ran about playing. And every time I came back to her, I would find her so pale, so sad. Crying.
Why did she cry, my love?
She and another were like one, always. Then something came. The thing that caused the burning and the killing here at Rio Lima, perhaps. And the other was lost forever. And my mother was alone in the forests and mountains of the world. Now only do I know what you felt, sweet mother, when you sat still and cried while I ran about and played and laughed. Oh, poor mother.
I love you, Rima.
Oh.
Now, there is no fear, no shadow. Are you happy?
Oh, so happy. But But now I must go on ahead. I must make a wedding dress out of silver threads I find in the forest. Mm. And when you come, you will call my name. Rima, Rima. And she will be there, listening, hid in the trees, wishing to be in your arms. Then she will step forward in a dress that is like snow on the mountaintops when the sun is setting and gives it rose and purple color. And she will hold her breath, hoping Adele will think she is beautiful.
Oh, Rima.
It will soon be morning. I must go.
Rima, Rima!
Ahead. We could not stop her. It took Noflu and me many days to get back to our beautiful forest again. When we reached their hut, we found it burnt to the ground. I raced into the woods. Rima! Rima! Where are you? Come out of your hiding place, Rima. Only silence. Only silence. And the sounds the wind makes. And the leaves. And then, footsteps. Rima! Rima! You've heard me.
You are looking for someone in the forest?
Chief Ronai, I thought you told me once there was something bad in the forest, something you feared. A girl, was it not?
Yes, a girl, an evil spirit.
Is she not here now?
She is not here now.
Tell me where she is.
One of my bravest warriors went into the forest and found that she was gone. She had left, and so we had fine hunting here. Good game. But then she returned.
No, no, she did not return. You need not search for her. She has gone away.
She returned, and we hunted her.
Did you find her?
We found her on the top branches of a tree. I ordered my men to gather dry stuff, and we piled it round the tree.
And?
We laughed and shouted as we set fire to it.
No!
Crying, burn, burn, evil spirit. The flames went higher and higher with a great noise, and at last, from the top of the tree, out of the green leaves, came a great cry like the cry of a bird. Abel, Abel, and we saw something fall. It was the evil spirit, and she was burnt to ashes like a moth in the flames of a fire.
I plunged my knife into his heart. This man who had killed all that was beautiful in my life. Rima! Where are you? I look for you everywhere. I know we are together. I know this. I know our souls are together. Like two raindrops side by side, drawing nearer and nearer. Until they touch. And they are no longer two, but one inseparable drop. Crystallized beyond change. Not to be disintegrated by time, nor shattered by death's blow. I sit here, and a moth flutters in and lights on my hand. I hold my breath as I gaze at it. Its wings are pale gray, and it is covered with the finest silver thread, like some twilight mystery or legend. It circles above me and lights on the fire. I open the door quickly so it can find its way out again into its own cool, dark, flowery world. And I call to it. Oh, night wanderer of the pale, beautiful wings, go forth. And if you, by chance, meet her somewhere in the shadowy depths, revisiting her green mansion, be my messenger and tell her this. Rima, you have taught me that a moment of sunshine through the leaves can be precious to the heart of man.
The beauty is everywhere. But we must drink it deep while we see it. While we're here. And tell her this. Rima. Rima. We shall meet again. We shall count 10,000 leaves together and watch the hummingbirds. And I shall hear you calling to me, Rima. Always. Always.
Ever forget the story of Rima in her green mansions of the forest world. Elsewhere, W.H. Hudson wrote, "The blue sky, the brown soil beneath, the grass, the trees, the animals, the wind and rain and stars are never strange to me, for I am in and of and am one with them, and my flesh and the soil are one, and the heat in my blood and in the sunshine are one, and the winds and the tempests and my passions are one." Such a man wrote this favorite story, Green Mansions. Our thanks to Berry Kroger and Janet Waldo for their performances, to Claude Sweeten for his lovely forest music, to Lawrence and Lee, who translated this work into radio, and to Miss Dinah Shaw, who named it her favorite story.